Thanks, Mom. Every child wishes for that just perfect mom, the kind who does everything right and never anything wrong. She must say the right things and be perfectly dressed, keep a clean house and be happy, never, ever depressed. It's her job to make sure her family feels blessed, each member made happy with egos caressed. This all sounds very nice. What a lovely world it would be if every mother was perfect, meeting every child's need. But moms are just human and make mistakes on the way, lives filled with trials like ours to deal with every day. So how can we ask them to be more than they're able when not a single one can wear that perfect mom label? Try to look at your mom from a new point of view. As you grow older and wiser, you'll see her anew. Each mother is different, with good points and bad. Praise the fine things. Talk about what makes you unhappy or sad. If you pray for your mom, ask God to make your heart glad for good memories she's given, the good times that you've had. Every mother is special, precious, and select. For this very reason, give her honor and respect. Love her like you did when you were so tender and small, because she certainly hasn't stopped loving you through it all. So God bless our dear moms, the ones we came through, and we should forever be saying, Mom, I thank you. But I like this poem because it was just a good reminder that there is no such thing as a perfect mom. So I just want you guys to be encouraged. That's one thing the Lord has really been speaking to me. It's not my job to give my children the perfect childhood, because there is no such thing. It's our job to instill Jesus in our children. If we have instilled Jesus in our children, and we have done something wonderful, we've done something great. And I often say if they are still alive at the end of the day, I've done my job anyway. But but there is no such thing as perfection. And so if you will just trust the Lord to guide you with your children, then you're doing your job. So just be encouraged. If no one said it to you today, you are doing a great job. Why do I know you're here? And just know that you may not be perfect, but you're the perfect person for your children. God does not make mistakes. If you're not the perfect person for that child, he would have given that child to someone else. So don't worry how everyone else mothers and how everyone else parents. Be yourself. Be who God's called you to be, because you're the perfect person for your children. So let me just say a quick prayer. Lord Jesus, I just pray for each mother today that you will remind them that you know what you're doing and that you divinely put those children in their care. So I just pray that each one would have confidence in you, because, Lord Jesus, I know you will guide us and direct us every day and show us exactly how to raise those children in the giftings that you're calling them in. And I just thank you, Lord, for every mother today. I pray that each one would have just a blessed day, knowing that you're in charge and that you've got their back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you so much. Wow, I mean, what do you say? Mothers, y'all are amazing. You do an amazing work. And Lord knows I can't do it. I've tried, and it's just, I'm about ready to quit about lunchtime. So thank you, Catherine, for all your hard work. I love you, and I'm sure their husbands feel the same way about their wives and any single moms in the house and everyone else. You know, you're doing an amazing job. So keep up the good work. Today, what I want to do is I want to share the word. I want to talk about the book of Ruth. I'm going to talk a minute about Naomi this morning. There's some interesting things here when you go through about Naomi that I want to talk about briefly this morning. And let's just start out in Ruth chapter 1. Sit it down. It came about in the days when the judges governed. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea was sent to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi, and the names of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judea. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then it says Naomi's husband died, and she was left there with her two sons. They took for themselves Moab women as wives. The name of one was Orpha, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, And the wife was bereaved of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that they might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from that place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to the return to the land of Judea. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal with you kindly, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of your husband, their husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I not yet sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. For I have said I have hope. If I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying no my daughters? For it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, in the few minutes that we have. We can share my heart this morning for Naomi and what she means to these women and the example that she was as a mother. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing that you see through this point that she's talking is that she really did have a genuine concern and a genuine love for her daughter-in-laws. They were Moab. They were not Jewish, but she still didn't let ethnic things stop her from loving them. And she loved them, and so much so that they loved her in return. And she knew, really, that the best thing for them was for them to go back to their home and for them to have to get married again. Now, that wasn't the best thing for her because she'd have been left alone. But there was a sacrifice she was willing to make for her daughter-in-laws because she loved them. There was a natural mothering instinct that she had, that she loved them like a mom would love. Like I said, she put aside what was best for her so that she could do what was best for them. Now, I've seen that in my own family, and I'm sure many of that mothers will put aside and they will sacrifice for their families and their children. I think it's amazing to me the kind of sacrifice that I've seen that women, mothers, are willing to make for their kids. And here we see, again, Naomi taking the situation at hand and saying, "Look, I love these women. I love my daughters-in-laws. But what's best for them is what I need them to go." And then if you look in verse 13, it says, she was clearly in mourning, and she was blaming God for her situation. So she was in pain. But you know, sometimes, I don't know if you ever noticed that sometimes when you're in pain, you tend to lash out at the ones you love sometimes. But that's not the case with Naomi. She was such the woman of God. Her natural mother and instinct was not to bind these women up and say, "Your future has got to be stuck with me." He went after what was best. She went after what was best for her daughter-in-law, excuse me. It just shows you something about her. So there's this natural mothering that you see take place. I have a feeling that if she had been a terrible mother-in-law to them, they wouldn't have cried and wept when she told them to go away. They'd have been like, "I'm out of here." Tell you what, some of the stories I've heard about people and their mother-in-laws. Come on now, some people are smiling at me. I know it's true. I'd be glad to get away from this. Thank God that's not the case all the time. But in this moment, these women love their mother-in-law. So there was a real example of mothering that was taking place in the natural sense of the word here with Naomi. What an example she is for us in this. Then if you go on down, let's read down a little further. It says, "And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods.'" Very important point there. "Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more about it. It's obviously here there was a real deep love that Ruth had for Naomi. She had invested a lot of time in Ruth. There was a love there. And she was to the point that she was willing to give up everything to go be with Ruth. Ruth to go be with Naomi. She was willing to give up her family, her culture, to go to a place she had never been, and give up everything to follow after Ruth. Naomi. I'm sorry, I keep getting Ruth and Naomi mixed up. Anyway, Ruth was following after Naomi. I would say when I look at this that there was a lot more going on here than just Ruth's love for Naomi as a natural mother. I believe there was a spiritual mothering that Naomi also did at that time that would propel Ruth to want to give up everything. Because it says here, I will serve your God. She didn't want to go back to her old gods, the false gods. But I believe that she saw something in Naomi, the woman of God who walked into character, who served Yahweh. There was something about her that went just beyond, I love you as my mother. It went beyond that, I believe. It went to, I love you as a mother, but the woman of God that you have been to me, the example of godliness you have been to me, makes me want to give up everything I have. The temptations of this world, the false gods. Naomi, because of the example that you are to me, I'm going to leave everything behind and I'm going to follow you to the land of Judah. Just goes to show you the power and the influence of a woman of God, of a mother. Now, in this situation, I think it was more than just natural. There was a spiritual mothering. You say, I don't have any children. Look, there's a spiritual mothering that you can do as a single woman or a woman who doesn't have any children. Or maybe your children are grown up and you're not having as much influence in them as you did. Of course, I have heard it said that no matter how old your children are, they're still your children. So you could be 80 years old and your children are struggling and they're 50 or 60. You're still struggling with them. That's what I've been told. So I understand that. But there's a spiritual responsibility that God has placed upon mothers. There's a spiritual responsibility that we have, that you have, with me as a father, you as a mother, to raise your children up in the things of God. There's a responsibility there. And the example of Naomi was so amazing that Ruth was willing. She was just her sister-in-law. Daughter-in-law. She wasn't even her natural mother. But she was so enamored by her personally and by the spiritual walk that she had, she was willing to give up everything to go. There's no way that I could overstate the importance of a godly woman in the life of their children. There's no way to overstate that. The impact and the influence that you have. And what I love about that poem, you don't have to be perfect. Naomi wasn't perfect. And we're about to read a little bit more about Naomi here. And you can see some of her struggles and what she went through. You read on down here in verse 19. It says, And they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, Is this Naomi? Now, Moab, if you look on the map, is not that far from Judea. But back then, they didn't travel like they travel now. It's really easy for us to get in a car and go somewhere. Back then, it was by foot. It was on a camel. It was on a donkey. So they may have not even been back to Judea for 10 years. So when she goes back to her home and everybody's seeing her, they're excited about it. But here's what she said. She said to them, do not call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. In other words, she's saying, I'm bitter. You know, one thing about it, I appreciate her. She was honest. She said, I'm bitter. God has treated me wrong. It's all God's fault. So she said to them, I went out full. But the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. So it's obviously that she's having some struggles with the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but any of you ladies ever had a struggle with the Lord? I have. Naomi has some struggles with the Lord. She has some struggles, I'm sure, in her parenting. She had struggles as she's trying to figure out her life. And so I think it's okay. What I really love about the poem is, mothers, you're going to struggle. You're going to have some tough times. You're going to have some hard times, but God is with you. And I don't think at that point, I think Naomi thought she was abandoned. Even though Ruth went with her, I think she felt like, my life is over. She was elderly at this time. And I think she was quite amazed that Ruth would even want to go be with her. But what we see in this, and I'm going to talk about it, keep talking, is that Ruth, that God is faithful to Ruth, but he's also faithful to Naomi throughout her entire life. His faithfulness doesn't stop when you get to a certain age. His faithfulness goes continually to your very last breath. And he begins to encourage Naomi in this, that, Naomi, I haven't forgot your godliness. You know, it's easy for all your moms to think, God, does God see all the hard work that I do? So much of what a mom does is hidden. Nobody knows. Even the husbands don't know. Especially if you're a single mom, so much falls on you. They don't know what you do. I don't know what they do. You know, I don't know. I'll publicly say there's nothing blesses me more than somebody washing my clothes. I can't imagine having to wash. Thank you, honey, for helping me with that. She actually won't let me wash clothes. I ruin stuff. But anyway, she thinks I did that on purpose one time. I ruined some stuff so that I wouldn't have to wash them anymore. But that's not really true. But if it works, it works. Anyway, but there's so much that women do, the mothers do, that we don't know about. And I think there's a lot of we don't thank our mothers enough. That's why we try to have a day a year that we at least honor them. But I would have to say, I can't imagine. I've tried to do that for, I think, about half a day. And after that, I'm ready to, you know, spit nails, as they say, and stuff. Because there's just amazing amount of grace that God gives to a mom who's trying to work it out, trying to do everything, what they're trying to do. But see, Naomi, but she's in the pit right now. Anybody ever been so depressed? Yeah, I'm sure plenty of mothers have said, that's wicked, it's been horrible, these kids are crazy. I've changed the last diaper, or my teenager's driving me nuts. Don't raise your hand, but I'm sure that happens. There's the people smiling at me. I know nobody wants to say anything, but I'm sure you've had those weeks. But this is even the most severe case. Her children actually died. But God has a way of coming to her at that moment and giving her a spark of hope. So then we have Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, and let's keep going. And it says, now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And basically what happens, Ruth comes to Naomi and says, we got to eat. I'm paraphrasing. Can I go out and glean in the fields? So she was still being obedient to Naomi, as a grown woman. She's probably, they're thinking maybe a teenager, or at least 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. But she was very, even then, obedient to Naomi. And she said, sure, go on out and glean. Because back in those days, there was a commandment from the Lord in the Old Testament that the corners of their fields, they would not reap them, the wheat and the barley, so that the poor people could go and get that. Or they could walk behind them in the fields, and any scraps that were left over, they could take those as a way of showing mercy to the poor and the widow and the orphan. And so she went out to glean, and it just happened to be, by happenstance, which we know it was the sovereignty of God, that she gleaned in Boaz's field. And he turned out to be a relative of them. So she goes back, she tells Naomi. Naomi says, oh, he's a member of our family. Maybe he could be your redeemer. And back in those days, in the custom of the Hebrew people, back in B.C. times, they would have a rule that if a man died without any children, that his brother or a close relative would marry his wife, and they would have children in his name to carry on his legacy and to carry on and take care of the property that belonged in his name. And so they were looking for a redeemer. And it just happened to be Boaz. And through a series of circumstances, Naomi, I believe, began to be encouraged. And she began to think, hey, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for Ruth. Now here again in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now here again, we see Ruth, we see the heart that Naomi had for Ruth. Once again, she's thinking about what's best for Ruth. Her mother instincts, again, are coming out. Her natural desire for the best of her children are coming out. And through a series of things, she advises her how to win Boaz's heart. And Boaz eventually married her and became the Redeemer. And then in Ruth chapter 4, verse 14, it says, then the women came to Naomi. This is after Boaz has buried Ruth, and she had a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord, who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Wow, that's quite a compliment to Ruth. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they called him Obed. And he is the father of Jesse and the father of David. I don't know if you realize or not, the lineage of Jesus went through Ruth. The lineage of Jesus went through Jesse, who was the father of David. And the descendancy of Jesus came through David, right here. So God honored Naomi, and he honored Ruth for her commitment to Naomi, but he also honored the godliness of Naomi. I believe he honored her motherhood. He honored her natural motherhood. He honored her spiritual motherhood. And he showed his faithfulness. He repurposed her life. He showed her that just because your sons have died, I still have a purpose for you, Naomi. I still need you in the kingdom. I still have things for you to do, Naomi. Now you're going to help raise one of the descendants in the line of Jesus. And you're going to help raise that child. What an impact, what an honor. God is faithful to his people. God was faithful to Ruth for what she did. He was faithful to Naomi. What I want to say to all you moms in here today, God has seen everything that you've done. If you have little children, if you have grown kids, or somewhere in between, Jesus sees what you've done. Even you may not get all the accolades that you deserve, but I believe God is going to be faithful to you and bless you because of what you've done. If you're a spiritual mother in here today, you don't have any natural children, God is going to bless you with disciples, people that you can pour your life into, that you can help change the world through who you are and what you've done. So there's a spiritual mothering, then there's a natural mothering, and sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're separate, but there's a grace that God has upon your life. So today I just want you to be encouraged that Jesus loves you, God sees you, he sees what you've done. And let me just say this. If you have a child who's older who's not serving Jesus today, you keep believing. You keep crying out like Naomi did. You keep holding on to Jesus. I believe he hadn't forgot your children. If those are not serving Jesus today, you keep on believing. I believe there's nothing more powerful than the prayer of a mom. I believe there's power in that. God shakes the heavens, I believe, when a mom cries out for her children. And I believe Naomi was that kind of woman. I believe that's why Ruth followed after her, was willing to give up everything to serve the God, because she looked at Naomi and said, if God is like you, Naomi, that's the God I want to serve. And my prayer is for all you mothers that our children will look at you and call you blessed and would say, just because of who you are, I want to serve that God that you serve. I want to follow after the example that you've given to me as a woman of God. Be encouraged today, all you moms. Be encouraged that God, his hand is on your life. His purposes are on your life. Whether you're working a job, whether your children are grown, whether you're at home with your children, whatever may be the role that you have, I believe God's anointing, His hand, His grace is upon you, and He's going to honor you like He honored Naomi. He's going to honor you for everything that you've done, and He's going to bless you just as He blessed Naomi. Amen? Amen. Let me just pray for you. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, as we come together this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're a good God this morning, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for it. Thank you for all the women who are here today that represent both natural mothering and spiritual mothering this morning. May you bless them today. May you pour out your grace upon them today. May your hand of love and your hand of grace be there to bless them, God. And we are so grateful to you for the anointing that you've placed upon the women in this church. Thank you, Jesus, for our mothers. Many of us that are grown, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my mom. I thank you for the sacrifice that they have did for us. Help us to be grateful, Lord, for our own parents, for what they did for us, even if they're in their elderly age, or even if they're not even living on the side of heaven anymore, Lord. We are grateful, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that they did. Thank you for giving us birth, God. Thank you for your grace for them. Thank you for your blessing upon their lives, Lord Jesus. And we honor them today. We honor all the women of God here today that have sacrificed, that have given their lives for their children, for their spiritual children, for their families, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd even give us a new gratitude for our families, a new gratitude for our mothers, even if there was situations where there's not a good relationship there between us and our family or our mother. Lord, let us forgive those whom have hurt us, Lord. Let us recognize that our families, our parents, our mothers are not perfect. And give us the grace to forgive them where they've fallen short and maybe have hurt us in the past. Give us the grace to forgive them, Lord Jesus. Help us to love, Lord, and nothing else. They gave birth to us, and you chose them to be the one to give birth to us, Lord Jesus. If nothing else, they deserve honor for that and respect for that. God, help us to be able to walk free from bitterness, just as Naomi went through a season of bitterness in her life because of what had happened to her family. Father, I pray that you would take away bitterness in our lives. If there's bitterness toward our mothers, or bitterness toward our family in any way, God, help us to release our bitterness toward our children. Lord, I pray you would just help us walk free from that, that we could be Naomi, the pleasant one, versus the one that's bitter. And God, we thank you, Lord, for that, and we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great Mother's Day today. I want to just take just a moment. Before we dismiss, I wanted Daryl Vang to come up. Come up here, Daryl. Just found out this morning. I'm sorry to, I'm not trying to delay you for lunch. I got a few minutes here for mothers. I got some steaks I'm going to cook on the grill when you get home. So somebody said, are you cooking them for yourself, Eddie, or for your wife? Well, I mean, I can say it's for my wife, and we can all be blessed. Anyway, I found out that Daryl has just got a job. Daryl's been our middle school youth minister for the last 2 years. And God has given him a job give me the microphone here. He's given him a job. He's a physics major. He's one of those smart people. You know, he's a physics major. And he's been doing some part-time stuff for 2 years. And I wanted to give him a moment just to say, we're going to pray for him right after the service. So if any teenagers are here, please come up afterwards. We're going to lay hands on Daryl. We're going to spend some time praying for him as we send him to, you tell us where you're going?
I'm going to Hickory, North Carolina, if anybody knows where that is. It's a good bit away. It's about 4.5 hours.
And I forgot to tell you, he was also in our campus ministry for how many years?
Oh.
All through college?
Yeah, all throughout college.
All through college. So he's been here a long time, so we're going to really miss Daryl.
Yeah.
Let's tell you what. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to give a lot of thanks out. I wanted to thank the pastoral team. Eddie, Mike, Blake, and Beatty, you know, just really pouring into me, praying for me. You guys have always been praying for me, and that's been really special for me, just to know that I've got that prayer. and encouraging me. You guys have always been encouraging me through just, you know, just all throughout my college career and afterwards. And just really leading by example in this church. I want to thank the elders. I just always remember leading on stage or worshiping or just being in the crowd and looking at the elders and just seeing them just worship and just being an example of faith for me. It's always been encouraging. I want to thank ENC for doing life with you guys. You know, it's fun. We've had a lot of fun times. And ENC also is where I got right with God. I was doing the Purple Book with Daniel Overby, actually, and a friend of mine. We were trying to get him saved, and it's actually in that little Purple Book session where I, like, realized the gospel, and I was like, oh, wow. And so it's ironic how God does that. And I want to thank the youth. You guys are amazing. We've had some great times. A lot of memories that I'll carry with me. And I say this to you guys all the time, but you guys have destiny. Moms, I can see how you lead them and how you love them and how you instill God in them by how they, like, talk to me and the questions that they ask. They ask some of the best questions, some of the most thought-provoking questions. You know, so the scripture, you know, it says, you know, don't look down on the youth. It's so true. They've got so much potential, so much destiny. And youth, I'm speaking straight to your identity, is, like, you guys are amazing. You guys are beautiful. You don't have to give yourself away to anything in this world but to God. And you guys have a lot of potential, and I see a lot of amazingness in you, and you come from a great church. And that's the last thing I want to thank is the mothers, is just honor them. Is a lot of you have treated me like a son, and that's been something that I prayed for. Is when I left Hickory and came to Greenville for school, it was like, God, I don't want to get lost. You know, I want to find a family. I want to find a church. And a lot of you have treated me like family. And so thank you, Lord, for this church. It's been prophesied and said a bunch of times to this church and to the team that there's something unique and different here, and it's so true that I've never found anything like I've found here at GCF. So I want to thank everyone and thank the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, Darrell. Stay right up here, bro. We're going to pray for you in just a second. Thank you so much. If we could stand, I'll pray and dismiss us today here at Mother's Day weekend. Have a great Mother's Day. If your mom's out of town, call your mom. All right, everybody, call your mom if they're not here. I will call mine. I'll lead the way. I'll call mine today, too. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here today, Lord. Thank you. Bless the mothers today. Let this be a moment of joy for them as we honor them today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.